This is the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Discover how to enhance your reputation as an attorney and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.
Good morning. This is Tracy Murdo with Speakeasy Marketing and Secrets of Attorney Marketing. I have a special guest with me today, Attorney Frank Urbanek out of Oklahoma. Frank is not only a valued client of ours, but also a valued friend. And we've watched his journey as he became an attorney, criminal defense attorney in Oklahoma, and is now operating a very successful solo practice. And Frank, I just want to thank you for your time this morning. I know you're a very busy guy.
Well, thank you for asking me to be here. It's an honor. I listen to the podcast every episode, so it's very cool to actually be on the podcast now.
Well, we're happy to have you. So I have to ask right off the bat, just because I know you. Now, don't panic, call Urbanek. Where'd you come up with the tagline, Frank?
Well, my wife and I were driving back from an event that we were considering promoting my law firm at, and we were just kind of throwing ideas back and forth. And I have to give credit to her. She came up with it. We were just trying to think of creative taglines, and it just came out of her, and I said, that's it. That's it. This is our million-dollar tagline. So we went with it, and everybody loves it. And at the very least, people are going to know how to pronounce my name now.
That, and you cannot forget it. It sticks pretty well. So that's one of those catchy jingles. Well done. Yeah. Well done, wife.
Yeah, it definitely sticks with people.
Frank, tell me a little bit about your background and what just sort of prompted you to get into law, and not only that, but eventually venture out and start your own practice. I mean, not everybody is equipped to do that.
Yeah, well, starting out my career, I never intended to become a lawyer, but I spent about 10 years active duty in the Air Force. I was an officer, flew on AWACS. And then it kind of came to the period of time where I had to decide, okay, do I want to make this a career? Or do I want to do something else? And I said, what the heck, I'm going to do something else. Love the Constitution, and I want to see how I could support and defend the Constitution in a different way. So that's why I chose to go into law. And I had no idea what kind of law I wanted to practice when I started law school. So based on some of the internships I did and the criminal defense clinic that I was in at Texas Tech, I said criminal defense is the way I want to go. And so, or I at least wanted to be involved in criminal justice. And I felt the best path for that would be to become a prosecutor first and then spend several years learning the system and make connections and then eventually go out on my own. Well, comes to the summer after I graduate law school, so preparing for the bar, I went back to the district attorney's office that I had worked at the summer before, and there were about 14 people at that point that were interested in applying for the prosecutor positions. And we got an email after a couple weeks of my working there. It said, we don't know how many, if any, positions we're going to have available by the time that y'all take the bar. And so I said, okay, well, you know, I'm competing for potentially zero open slots, and I'm putting in jeopardy my being able to pass the bar because my studies were getting farther and farther behind. So I figured, okay,
sure,
I need to prioritize, because passing the bar is my number one priority, because I can't have anything if I don't pass the bar. So I went to the district attorney and said, hey, sir, thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity, but I'm going to have to make this decision right now to focus on the bar, and then we'll see what happens after that. And so as time went on, I made more connections. Of course, I passed the bar, and I said, okay, well, what the heck? Why don't I just go ahead and go out on my own and see how it works? So it was a huge risk to do that. However, I think I set myself up well for it. I prepared for it because, as I said earlier, I was active duty Air Force, but then when I got out, I went into the reserves. So I was still able to have some sort of steady income while I was building my practice. So the plan was to work a lot initially in the reserves, because you can, in my particular job, you can work more than just the weekend a month and 2 weeks out of the year. They have all these extra days. And so my plan was to do that initially, and then as my law practice business picked up, my reserve work would go down. Well, as it turns out, my law office work skyrocketed, and so I had to have an equally large decrease in the amount of work that I was doing on base. So it was really good to see that happen, because, you know, again, it was a huge risk. I have a wife, I have three kids, so I really wanted to make sure that I was putting them in a good place.
Frank, tell me a little bit about what it's like when you're first starting out in those first few months and trying to go out and get clients. How are you finding clients as a new attorney and a new practice? And I mean, what kind of background does law school prepare you for?
Well, law school really doesn't prepare you for going out and getting clients. And it was tough. It was really tough. I was fortunate, though, enough to know some people in town already through some friends of my wife. She knew an attorney that was very helpful to me early on and still is. And then the various connections that I made during the previous summer while I was doing some internships. And that first client was the toughest. Okay, so I do criminal defense, and it was just a matter of, I felt like, oh man, once I get that first client, then things will really start rolling, and it was. And it's just a matter of getting your name out there. And of course, if you don't have any website, if you don't have anything else, then it's really difficult to get your name out there. So initially, I was doing some direct mail, and I didn't have a website at that time, and I felt like, okay, let me build a website. And I was fortunate enough to know WordPress, so I built my own website, which the main part of the website that I built is still there. So I was able to do what somebody told me is maybe about a $5,000 website for free, but I spent a couple weekends just hammering it out on my own. And then once my website got up, I was getting some response from the direct mail. And then from there, I was going to court fairly regularly, and I was bumping into people. I had somebody, I was just standing outside the courthouse one day just waiting on somebody, and a guy walks by. Hey, are you an attorney? Yes. Can I have your car? Okay. And I was like, okay, this guy's never going to call me back. The guy calls me back, and to this day, the win that I had in his case is probably one of the best wins and one of my most proudest wins so far. So you never really know how you're going to get that next client. I got one just from standing around, just from being.
That's some grassroots marketing.
but exactly. I mean, it's not like I'm standing around handing out my business card. You
no,
can't do that.
But really,
but I was
that's
just
really cool.
I was just standing there, and he approached me. But other ways, talking to my contacts, I met another attorney who I was able to get a part time or a fill in. Public defender job, for lack of a better term, in a county next to Oklahoma County. So I was able to make incredible connections there. And it's just about going out and meeting people, putting yourself out there, and just making people know that you exist. And I made connections with an attorney that I had seen while I was interning at the district attorney's office, and made a huge impression on me. So I tried to learn more about him and eventually made contact with him. And now I have an office sharing arrangement with him. So I help him out whenever he needs me to make it, when he has conflicting court appearances, for instance, in two different counties at the same time. So I'll take one of those. And it's a win-win-win for me, because I get a great office, I get to use him as a resource, and I get to do things for him to where I'm forced to go and learn how to do things. So it's been a great start so far.
So for you, I know you use a lot of different methods for marketing. So let's talk about some of the things that have worked the best for you, including how important technology has become to your practice as well.
Right, absolutely. So in any marketing that I've done, I try to get across whatever my competitive advantage is, and that I think has changed over time. Initially, it was, and this was advice that I got from one of the attorneys that I worked for in Lubbock, is just don't charge very much money starting out. And, you know, other attorneys that are criminal defense attorneys in my area probably aren't going to like to hear this, but the simple fact is that starting out, you can't command a high price because you really don't know all that much, right? So you have to start out low. I mean, my very first cases were all very, very inexpensive. Let's put it this way. My clients got really, really good deals. They got really good return on their investment because I got great outcomes for them and for relatively little money. And as time goes on, I've increased my price. And I think right now I'm probably at about the average range or where things should be. But so I try to put forth what my competitive advantage is. I talked about how I had actually practiced law for the year, for the last year that I was in law school as part of a criminal defense clinic. So I've been able to hit the ground running. I use technology. So in my marketing and on my website and in the things that I say to people, I try to tell them how I am one of what I believe is very few criminal defense attorneys in Oklahoma, probably the state of Oklahoma, who uses technology in a significant way. For instance, I don't walk into court with paper folders and, you know, stuff stapled in there, taped in there, or shoved in there. I walk in with a Microsoft Surface Pro 4 that has everything that I need. Everything's at my fingertips. Because the initial way I envisioned doing my law practice was having a mobile law practice to where I had a virtual law office, which I did have a virtual law office for a period of time until I had this office sharing arrangement. And I wanted to be able to meet somebody in a Starbucks or a McDonald's or at my house and be able to talk to them. I don't have clients over at my house, but to be able to talk to people anywhere just so I would be able to capture that lead and to where they wouldn't immediately go call somebody else. I never have to tell my clients, hey, I have to get back to my office before I can look at your folder or your file, because I have their file with me at all times. I initially started with Microsoft OneNote, which is a free product. That was my client and my office management system. And since then, I've bought a Smokeball subscription that is a client management system, and it's just incredible. The features are incredible. The document automation, the email organization, the client management, the way it manages the various matters. And so I'm able to put all this stuff in there so that if I'm at the courthouse, I can go and talk about any client with the prosecutor. I can talk about talk with my clients anywhere I'm carrying my Surface Pro 4 with me. So I'm able to do these things to where I can cut down on the cost of the representation. So that's another way that I marketed myself. But as far as the actual marketing that I did, I think having a website is an absolute mandatory thing that every attorney has to have, because I noticed kind of a turning point was when I actually got my website online, that people started responding to some of the things that I was doing, some of the mail that I was sending out. It just gives you legitimacy. And then some of the other creative things that I've done since then is I have sponsored some, it's called Rage in a Cage. It's like a local MMA fighting event, and I've done a couple of those. And it's just good to get out there and mix it up with the people. People come over and talk, and and I have a ton of free items that I give out, some bunch of promotional items, lighters, bottle openers, what is it? Beach balls, frisbees. So they'll have the ring girls throw out the frisbees and beach balls and stuff. So it's all really fun. So I try to have fun with the things that I do. I've also gone and given out pens at liquor stores and coasters at bars. So I just try to come up with outside the box ways of getting my name out there. And then one thing that I tried initially that didn't work is these lead generation services. Are you familiar with these?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I tried it for several months with a couple different ones, and they just all turned out to be junk. So I was paying for people to ask me just these questions that were unrelated to anything that I was doing. So I stopped that. So that's something that I would not recommend.
Frank, what about, I'm always curious because every attorney has a different stance on this, but what about social media when it comes to an attorney? I've seen some people do really well with it. I've seen others kind of, dabble in it and then just kind of look a little bit, half-assed, if you will. What is your stance, and is it a good idea? And if so, how can you use it to the best of, to make the most out of it?
I think it's a good idea because it offers you another way of not only putting yourself out there, but interacting with potential clients, current clients, past clients. It lets people in on a little bit of your thinking, a little bit of your personality. So if you go to my Facebook page, then, or any of my social pages, I'll post pretty much the same thing. You get to see a little bit of my thought process on things. And all my blog posts, I have them posted to all my social media, so people get to see what sort of things that I think are interesting and I think other people would think are interesting. And I post news stories fairly regularly. I'll try to have something posted there about at least every week, and it's good to hear people's responses or read people's responses on those things, and it just lets people know a little bit more about who you are. Kind of like on my website, I have some things about myself and my background that that people have noticed and have told me is a reason why they hired me. For instance, my Air Force background, some people have said that that they like how I was in the military, and so that's one of the reasons why they did. I've had other people tell me that a huge reason why they hired me is because I've been arrested before, and these are some of the things that I had put in there based on some of the research. I read some books and got advice from other people, and I really wanted to personalize what was on my website, and I found that had been, those things have been very successful, and especially the getting arrested. I was never charged, but I was arrested, spent the night in Harris County Jail many years ago. But, I mean, it was quite an eye-opening experience, and I think that is part of the reason why I wanted to ultimately practice criminal defense. But a lot of people, of course, they can relate to it because I'm dealing with people, the vast majority of people who have already been arrested for something. So I have been there in some respects. So that's a big piece of advice that I would have for somebody who's building their website, is to put some personal things on there that you think people might be able to relate to.
That's a really good point. I wanted to circle back to something that you were talking about just a bit ago when you were talking about, your rates when you started out and things like that. As a non-attorney, of course, I have always wondered, every attorney that I talk to in an interview says, don't go with someone just starting out because they don't have any experience, et cetera, et cetera. And my thoughts always going, how the hell does anyone get experience? So, I mean, is it just really kind of setting your price point and your persona as, okay, I'm entry-level price, but you're getting 10 times more? I mean, that sort of fascinates me. Just the starting out has got to be so hard.
Well, here's the deal. Not everybody has a lot of money, so there
Right.
has to be an attorney for somebody who is ineligible for a public defender, yet does not have enough money to be able to pay more than whatever I was asking for at the time. Let's just say they don't have over $1,000. So if they don't find me, they're gonna find somebody else. And I think I'm a
Okay.
pretty good attorney, and I think the people that hired me for, let's just say, below market rate, they would probably say that they had a good experience with me, a good return on investment. But yeah, I mean, you gotta start somewhere, right? And I didn't feel like for potential clients, I could start quoting prices immediately for what would be the market rate. Because when you have zero clients, you'd rather have a client that's low paying than to
Right.
have no money at all, right? So you'd rather have some money coming in than no money. Now, some of those people, let's say I quoted them $1,000. What if I had quoted them $2,000? Would they have still hired me? Maybe. So maybe I missed out on $1,000. I don't know. I didn't really care at the time. But when your phone's not ringing very much, you can't be that choosy. So you'd rather have some money coming in than no money. And by being able to have some money coming in and some clients, that gets me experience. That gets me into the courthouse. That gets me doing research, because you don't have that many clients at the time, so you can really do some great work for those people because you have the time to do really in-depth research for them and investigation.
So it kind of makes you a better attorney overall as well. I'm sure it gives you the opportunity.
It does. And initially I was thinking, okay, I really want to take a gradual approach to my clients. I want, one client this week, and then another client a couple weeks from there, and just kind of build up from there. But the way it all played out is the number of clients that I had went up a lot quicker than I thought it would be. And at some point I was like, whoa, this is too many. And I have had actually points where I said, this is definitely too many, and I'm either not going to answer my phone, or I'm going to pass this person on to some other attorney. But when I thought about it, I said, well, only th this is having this number of clients, which it has never been too many that I could handle. But having a good amount at all times is not only helpful to me, but it's actually helpful to those clients and my future clients, because the research that I'm doing for one client, that could apply to another client. So
Absolutely.
the more clients you have, the more helpful it's going to be to all your other clients and future clients, because you're only getting smarter and smarter every time you're doing research and working on each client's case.
So real quick, let's give me sort of a short fire answer here. What is the biggest challenge that you think small firms face when it comes to starting out and learning how to market themselves?
I think it's probably that if it's somebody that's on their own, they just don't have the business experience or the money to be able to do that. And like I said before, I'm probably a lot different than most solo attorneys starting out, because not only did I have a job that I could fall back on, my Air Force Reserve job, which is a pretty good paying job for a part-time job, that had extreme flexibility in giving me more time, but I didn't have any debt from law school. So, because the Air Force paid for my law school with the GI Bill. So most attorneys are graduating with not only no part-time job, but no but with a significant amount of debt from law school. So I think that put me at an advantage that other attorneys don't have. So they just don't have the money to be investing in thousands of dollars worth of merchandise that they can give out for free, or sponsorships at a concert, or sponsorships at a Rage in the Cage. So they probably have to they're forced into doing a job such as being a full-time public defender, or being a full-time prosecutor, or working as an associate for somebody else. But beyond that, just having the business knowledge. I have an MBA from OU, and I have a business degree from Texas A&M. So my business education was there, whereas I think a lot of attorneys, they just don't have the knowledge base on how to run a business.
I think you hit the nail on the head, because it is. You have to be, from the sounds of it, you have to be everything, from sometimes starting out with doing your own payroll to going to court 25 minutes later and actually presenting, you know, a case. That it's amazing how many hats a solo practitioner actually has to wear.
Yeah, you're right. Of course, initially starting out, I was not only an attorney, but I was my receptionist, my paralegal, my accountant, my marketing, my website person. I did everything. But now, as time has gone on, I have put some responsibilities onto other people that I've contracted out. So, for instance, I have an answering service, or a virtual receptionist answering my phone 24/7. So I'm able to actually capture a lot of leads that way, in addition to my not having to answer the phone every time it calls. I have somebody, as you know, handling my marketing and doing my website. That's a huge burden off of me, and I hadn't really built out any content on my website, and now I'm able to do that, and that has shown to have increased the amount of calls to me. I have an accountant now, so they just they handle all my books. And on that note, a real great piece of advice that I got from a buddy of mine who's incredibly wealthy is a business credit card. I can't believe how easy things have become after getting a business credit card, because before, you have to use your personal credit card and reimburse and everything. And then if you use a business credit card for everything that you buy for your business, and I just give my accountant the statement for the credit card, and so she knows everything is for business. It just makes things so much easier. So you're not doing double work. So I try to apply the efficiency principles that I learned in business school to my law practice to be able to cut out a lot of the waste, because I have to. I have to use every minute for something productive.
Frank, are there any final words of wisdom that you can lend to other attorneys who are maybe starting out, or maybe are already out there struggling to make a name for themselves and who don't have these million-dollar marketing budgets?
Yes. I emphasize getting your own website. And then on top of that is just be yourself. Be, you know, either the funny person or the goofy person or the extremely serious person, whoever you are, don't try to be somebody that you're not, because people are going to see through that, and I think people will respond better to you if you're genuine. And you, at least in criminal defense, and I'm sure other aspects of law as well, but if you express a genuine interest in your clients doing well, then I think that will come through. Because I've already had referrals of referrals. And I think a lot of that is because I really, really try as hard as I can to set people up for success in a system that is set up for them to fail. So even if I can't get the case dismissed initially, well, if I can get them on a deferred sentence, then that's setting them up for dismissal. And throughout the entire process, I stay on them. Hey, have you done your classes? Have you done your evaluation? Have you, you know, where is your clean drug test? I try to stay on them because I really care about them having a great outcome in their case. So I guess the final thing I would have to say is care about your clients, because if you care about them, then they're going to care about you, and you're going to see that the long-term benefits of that.
Awesome. Frank, thank you so much for giving us your time and just frankly your knowledge and just talking to us about your experience. You've come a long way and you've done quite a lot for such a young guy. So we really appreciate your time today and seeing where you go. And thank you so much for letting us come along on the journey with us, with you.
Well, thank you very much for asking me, Tracy. It was on.
All right, Frank. We'll talk to you soon. Frank Urbanek out of Oklahoma, the Urbanek Law Firm. Thanks so much, Frank.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Call 888-225-8594 or email rj@speakeasymarketinginc.com to enhance your reputation and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.